Now, the U.S. women's national team is going to play the first of two friendlies against South Korea Thursday night. You'll see it 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. You can watch from anywhere. One app, one tap. Before we start a new hour, we have breaking news just into our newsroom here. Aaron Boone will return as the Yankees manager. That, according to ESPN and multiple reports, he will sign a 3-year deal with an option for an additional year, sources confirmed to us at ESPN. So there'd been a lot of speculation about his job security in New York after what was a disappointing season. But again, he is back, and not only back, but a 3-year deal suggests that there's relatively strong support for him within the organization. More details on that as we go. In the meantime, we welcome you back to our studios live at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. That's Graz. That's Neek. That's Jeff Saturday. Marcus is here as well. We are jam-packed, and we are ready to get up for hour number two with Monday Night Madness. A confounding finish leaves the top of the AFC wide open. Were the decisions made correct? We will start right there. Then, how about then, Cowboys? Is Dallas a foot away from being super? We have the latest on the foot and the star of stars. And speaking of banged up QBs, Baker has only 48 hours to heal. Can he still save a sinking season in Cleveland? We've got the answers to all those questions as we get up with you starting right now with the game of the night. Oh, a good one on Monday Night Football. It was Josh Allen and the Bills in Nashville taking on Derrick Henry and the Titans. And when I say Derrick Henry, I mean the king. Neek, 76 yards.
Oh, man, this is scary. When he is bigger than you, stronger than you, and faster than you, there is no answer. You need some help out there. Bills were not feeling good.
That's the longest touchdown run in the NFL this year. Titans up 7-6 early. Bills looking to respond, and Josh Allen throws a dart jab in the end zone for Stephon
Diggs.
Yeah,
nice play action. Holds it, and then look at it. Just gets it in there. What a great catch. Great ball.
Buffalo back on top 13-7. Then, any fun playing defensive back in the NFL, Nate?
Oh, my gosh. Corner, safety, it doesn't matter. The refs hate you. The fans hate you. Yes, then you got guys like Julio Jones doing stuff like that. It's a rough job.
Right ahead. Well.
Take a look. It bounces off the helmet, and Julio manages to bring it in with the footwork. Yeah. Titans get a field goal on that drive. They're down 13-10. Less than a minute to go in the half. Bills down 17-13. Allen, Jeff, buying time and finding his man.
Does a nice job rolling out to his right. They got an inverted coverage, a little miscommunication on the back end. Easiest ball he threw all night. 4-6.
20-17, Buffalo at the half. Third quarter, Titans down 23-17, but here comes that man again.
Get out of the way! Derrick Henry's coming! Hide your chains!
That's his second touchdown of the day. Titans back in front, but Allen has an answer. Tommy Sweeney, that's a touchdown. Bills would go for the two here, and Jeff, we're going to call this one the Buffalo Special.
I mean, look at this. Josh Allen, he's 6'5", 2'4". There's nobody within 10 yards of him. You can't lose a man that big just running over to that side of the field. Come on. Bills on defense paid.
Bills on top, 31-24, under 4 minutes to go now. Here's Derrick Henry again. Dominique, he's just unstoppable.
Oh, yeah, there's no tricks. You know what we're doing. I know what we're doing. Everybody knows what we're doing.
Everybody.
Stop.
143 yards and 3 touchdowns for him. Titans on top by 3. So the Bills need an answer. Again, they're down by 3. This is 3rd and 6. Scrambling is Allen. Diving for the first down. Going to come up just short. Jeff, do you kick the field goal or do you go for it on 4th and 1?
No, you go for it. One of the biggest quarterbacks in the NFL. You can get an inch. Come on.
Or not. Dominique, you see this goes the wrong way. Down goes Allen in the backfield. We will break down exactly what went wrong for the Bills on this play in a moment, but it's Mike Vrabel who celebrates. Heartbreaker in Buffalo. Titans get the win 34-31.
Didn't work out in our favor, obviously. Didn't have the greatest footing. It happens. It's game of inches. You know, the play before was pretty close too. Didn't turn out in our favor today. We were 2 of 5 in the red zone. We can't do that against a team like this.
In that situation, is that something that you would go for 10 times out of 10, or is that a gut thing and kind of a situational thing? How do you kind of process?
Yeah, I mean, felt good about our chances. Had a chance to win the game right there, and we didn't get it done.
Well, analytics suggest it was the right decision. Their win probability is just under 49% by going for it, 47.5% if they kick the field goal. So there's a lot to get to there. Let's start with, did they make the right decision? Jeff Saturday said yes. Marcus Spears is up with us early this morning. What do you say? Was that the right decision to eschew the tying field goal and go for it on 4th down?
Yes, G. Yes, it is, man. Yes. Look,
Sean McDermott was going for a win, and that's what you do when you have players like Josh Allen at quarterback. And he understood the moment. Like, we understood that it's 50-50 possibility, but ultimately what he took into account was who his quarterback was. The decision-making process always comes down to analytics, and I work with Mina Kimes, so I'm starting to understand the numbers and how you're supposed to do things and why you go for two. I literally text her during games and be like, why the hell did they do that this time? But ultimately, sometimes it just comes down to football and your players. And that's what this call was about for Sean McDermott. It wasn't the fact that what probability they would get the first down or where it was. It was an inch, and your quarterback is 6'5", 240, and 9 times out of 10, he's going to get that. This was the one time that he didn't.
And so the reality of it is that it is also an indication, to the point that Marcus is making, of how much the league has changed based upon analytics. That never happens 10 years ago.
No way. Every coach in the league 10 years ago certainly would have gone for that or would have kicked the field goal,
right,
happy to take it to overtime. But, you know, to Marcus's point, you're not trying to tie the game. You're trying to win the game.
Right.
And if you get this, and by the way, the model, you know, for 4th and 1, that's less than one. That percentage probably goes up if you factor in that it's, you know, it's a half a yard or a third of a yard, whatever it is. So, yeah, I think it's that's the mindset. We're going to try and win this game. We do not want to go to overtime, lose a coin toss,
right,
and then Derrick Henry gets the ball, and he never gives it back to us.
That said, Jeff, I think the most important thing we can do is show everybody specifically what went wrong. The decision was right.
Yeah.
The execution was not.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, a QB sneak, the quarterback's going to pick a side, to his right or to his left, and everybody's going to submerge. Deion Dawkins, the left tackle for the Buffalo Bills, has to get his left shoulder to the left knee of Jeffrey Simmons. He has to, quote, cross the T. That means get his left ear hole underneath the face mask of Simmons and drive him forward. And again, you're talking about 6 inches. But what he ends up happening is he's higher than Simmons. You said it earlier, low man wins. He's pushing through his right shoulder so that he can stop Josh Allen right in his tracks. But it is literally 100% execution. That left knee, that ear hole has to cross the T to get that 6 inches. That's how people convert QB sneaks.
I'm told Marcus has one more thought here. Go, Marcus.
Now, to Jeff's point, because I love what he said, people need to identify how smart it was for the Titans to stem in that situation. When I say stem, when that D-line closed down that fast, they were trying to get a false start.
They were
trying to get somebody on that Buffalo offensive line. But then, to Jeff's point, we know that that's the plan as well as defensive players, is for those guys to get their hats across our body. But when you condense that area and it's about to happen fast, Dawkins stood no chance after that stem happened to get across Jeffrey Simmons' face. That's something Josh Allen had to identify and maybe use another route or point of entry as opposed to trying to go to the predisposed spot that he thought he could get through the gap. It was great defense by the Titans too.
Hey, and Swagoo, this happened earlier in the game, and the Titans actually made them jump off. Well, that stem he's talking about, it actually made the Buffalo Bills offensive lineman jump.
So there's a lot of specific stuff there, and those are the 6 inches that wind up deciding important football games. So what does it mean? What did this game mean last night? Buffalo, clear-cut best team in the AFC, go in there and get a loss. What does it mean?
It doesn't mean much to me. In my opinion, of the Bills hasn't changed. That 1 inch or that ability for Simmons to get in there, they get paid to. Sometimes they make plays. I still think that the Bills are the best team in the AFC, the way they're playing. In the past, the reason why I wouldn't think the Bills would be successful was because of their quarterback. That is a long, long history now. He is an elite quarterback in this league, and their defense is top of the league also. It's really hard for me to walk away from this game, a game that they played pretty well in, and feel like they still aren't as good as I thought they were before this game.
And the Titans side of it, I think, is also interesting because there was a few players in the league that you say to yourself, if they have that guy, they have a chance. And Derrick Henry is that guy.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, you guys who played can tell me this, but, like, as the game goes along, like, it has to break your spirit, right? I mean, like, there's no way. And the Titans know this, and they just keep hammering him and hammering him and hammering. I mean, this is early in the game, but by the end of it, you know what they're going to do. He has 250 more rushing yards than anyone else in the league through 6 games.
Listen, every team starts at the game when everybody breaks down, break their will. Like, everybody gets their will, break their will. He literally breaks your will. And you watch it as a season. And listen, the Derrick Henry effect is legitimate. When you watch them as the game progresses in the third and fourth quarter, Tannehill and play action becomes lethal because the linebackers have to step up and make those plays because they don't want them to get that running start. They don't want them to, they want to get out the way, as Fox said. You cannot allow that to happen. So fellas, the Derrick Henry effect is legitimate.
Go, Marcus.
Fellas, y'all know how y'all know, y'all ever watch them trainers with them damn alligators when they be putting their head in their mouth? And they done did it like 100 times. But eventually that alligator, like, I'm about to snap on this sucker. That's like playing Derrick Henry. You might get him to stop his feet. You may get him to run east and west at times. But eventually, you going to stick your head in there one time, and that alligator going to snap closed. And that's all it takes in order for him to do the things we saw him do last night. I've been on the other side of it. It is as scary as hell when you got somebody like that in the backfield.
But you've been on the other side of it and at least sort of been able to look him eye to eye. Describe let's put an ending to this conversation by asking you, how would you describe the feeling of being in the backfield and he breaks through everybody and you're the last line of defense?
A, that ain't my problem. My job is out here.
It was Josh Norman's problem last year.
So what you do with somebody like Derrick Henry is you take a shot at his knees. If he jumps over you, then it's a highlight. What you're not going to do is put me on my back. Either that or you run him down from the back. And I know Derrick Henry's kind of fast. But
kind of.
Okay, fine. Go. Touchdown for you, Derrick Henry. I'm not going on IR because the linebackers ain't want to make that. If
it's
right.
It ain't just IR. It's lifelong.
I am not.
You guys can have it.
Through a straw because the linebackers don't want to make their fits.
Listen, we live in an age where teams throw the ball all over the place. I don't find anything more entertaining than watching Derrick Henry one with the football.
You.
All right, much more football as we go. But American League Championship Series, huge game 3 last night. Fenway Park, Astros visiting the Red Sox, and here we go. Bottom of 2. Red Sox already up 1-0, and they have Christian Arroyo up with the bases loaded. Jose Altuve's got to make that play. Bounces away. J.D. Martinez scores, so a huge error by Altuve. Red Sox a 2-0 lead, and that leaves the bases juiced for Kyle Schwarber, who brings the juicer. That's a grand slam to right. The Red Sox are the first team ever with 3 grand slams in a single postseason series. They lead it 6-0. We're in the sixth. The Red Sox are up 9-3. Eduardo Rodriguez is still pitching. He gets Carlos Correa to ground out to end an inning, and then as Rodriguez is walking back to the dugout, he says, "Okay, Carlos, whose time is it now?" And his manager, Alex Cora, says, no, we don't do that here. It's more than enough just to win the game. And that they would do. 12-3 Boston. They take a 2-1 lead in the American League Championship Series. As we continue, the injuries are piling up in Cleveland. How much trouble is there for Baker and the Browns? We're talking about it. Plus, how about them Cowboys? Is Dallas a foot away from being super? We've got the latest on the star of all the stars. And we have sneaky Hembo for Graziano. Here we go. The Cowboys have 5 players on pace for 1,000 yards from scrimmage. No team has ever done that in a season. What was the last team to have 4? That's the question. The answer's coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, it's a big moment on Get Up here as Dan Graziano is going head-to-head with Sneaky Hembo. The Cowboys have 5 players on pace for 1,000 yards from scrimmage. No team has ever done that in a season. Who was the last team to have 4? And I say it's a big moment because yesterday, Rex Ryan defeated Sneaky Hembo.
Oh, I saw that.
And Rex was typically understated in his reaction.
Take the Eagles or do I take the Giants? The Giants!
That's right! It's the little thing.
I own you. I own you, Hembo. Woo-hoo!
That's a lot. There's a lot happening there.
There was a lot.
I don't think this is going to be like that because I don't know the answer.
So take a guess. Last team that had 4 players with 1,000 yards from scrimmage.
I got to give a year, like a specific year of a team. Like, that's the thing. I just asked Jeff Saturday if any of his Colts teams ever did it. I'm going to guess... a year. I'm going to guess one of those Colts teams with Peyton Manning.
What if I told you it happened last season?
Oh, that's sneaky.
The Carolina Panthers.
Wow. Yeah.
Mike Davis, Curtis Samuel,
Robbie Anderson,
and DJ Moore all had 1,000 yards from scrimmage. The 2004 Colts were the team before that.
All right, so that's
so
not bad.
A year ago today, that would have been the right answer. Huh. But in this case, it was the Panthers who did it just a year ago. That is super sneaky.
What's going on? Where's the celebration?
The reason that we are talking, Hembo's is not quite as demonstrative as Rex. Not, then again, who is? That said, we're talking about the Cowboys here, and then that's the reason for the question, because we've got to get to the latest on Dak Prescott. Yesterday, an MRI confirming that he suffered a right calf strain at the end of what was a wild overtime win against the Patriots. They have a bye this week. Dan Graziano, what can you tell us about the injury?
Well, they were encouraged by the results, but it's not definitive in terms of will he be able to play when they come back from their bye. They're off this week, which is a great, helpful coincidence for them, but they can't be sure that he'll be ready to play. They're just optimistic that he would be ready to go in week 8. They want to give him a week to rest, get back together next Monday, and see where things stand then. They came out of yesterday, again, optimistic, but a ways to go before they're certain.
All right, it's like a flashback for us on Get Up. How concerned are you about Dak Prescott's injury? We'll see where it winds up going. In the meantime, what I really want you all to react to was Michael Irvin on First Take yesterday talking about his Cowboys.
I
expected more, I got to be honest.
Here it comes.
I know what it takes to win Super Bowls. I know what it takes to win championships. And on every level, I have won championships. And there are certain things woven through those teams that I see now in the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm telling you, go get your tickets early because we will be in SoFi. I'm telling you right now.
He's got them in SoFi, Dominique. What do you think?
Man, I don't know what he is rolling, it's making me quite concerned. I hope it keeps going. I mean, I think we all agree that the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contending team. And when you have a quarterback like that, as long as he's healthy, you have an offense that can score like that and a defense that seems to be getting better week after week. By the time we get to the playoffs, there's a good chance that they are the best team. And we can put on top of it,
the schedule. You know we love to do schedule talk, Dan.
Yes,
they have,
we do.
They have the NFC East, which is not a tough schedule. They could get that first round bye.
You're being quite generous when you assess the NFC East.
You see what they have coming up there, and that doesn't even mention any of the teams in their division in which they will be a significant favorite to play in every single one of those
games.
Yeah,
let me say this about the Cowboys. Beating the Patriots the way they beat them, when they did everything wrong and still found a way to win, that's the mark of a good team. Listen, penalties, you know, third down conversions, like you name it. They did everything they could do to give that game to the Patriots and still found a way to win. That's impressive.
I think that's right. Marcus, I'll give it to you on that thought. Michael Irvin talking about championship teams, and he knows what they look like. Championship teams win games when they make big mistakes. That's what the Cowboys haven't done in 20 years, winning that game this weekend. What did it say to you?
Yeah, that was a big step forward, and I talked about it when I was going crazy on Instagram. Those are the type that they lose. Those are the type of games that they lose. And we were having a conversation about Baker Mayfield earlier. Dak made those plays. At the end, you have to have it. Those guys have to step up in those moments and be able to deliver if you even want to talk about winning a championship, because it's going to come down to that. I thought it was a hell of a win. It arguably could have been their best win up until this point of the season. It's a tough place to play. They did not have the run game that they usually have, and they had to go to throwing the ball and airing it out. And that's the sign of a team. I ain't all crazy with Mike, because Mike won championships, but we also know what the hell it looked like. Tom Brady know what it looked like. The Arizona Cardinals look like they can get it done as well. You look at the LA Rams, they out of the discussion. Everybody simmer down. I am a Cowboy fanatic. Everybody knows that. I don't need to announce it. But the bottom line is, it's a lot of other teams that look like damn championship teams, too.
Let me see if I understand this correctly. You want us to simmer down on talk of the Dallas Cowboys,
who, up.
At times when they're under 500, their fan base is talking about the Super Bowl. Now, all of a sudden, for first time in a quarter century, they got a championship-looking roster here. And we're not simmering down. I'm telling you right now.
Is.
I don't
simmer
know all the things here. We may or may not do, but simmering down is definitely is not
I'm going to just celebrate week to week. I'm going to celebrate week to week.
You didn't watch that game.
Fair enough. All right, Marcus, in the meantime, it is now your turn to get your revenge on Saturday. It's time for security.
Yeah, Jeff. Let's do it. I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother-in-law, he needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes, and then you find out he's a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
We affectionately call this Swagoo's Revenge because Jeff Saturday hands out pancakes in our first hour, and now Marcus brings us You Need New Security. Take it away, big fella.
Oh, it's time. And speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, my boy Randy Gregory saw an 80-year-old security guard standing outside and said, why the hell you gonna stop me from getting in here? That's exactly what this looked like. It's when you pull up to a place and the security guard is 80-year-old dude. He little and he don't have any firearm on his arm this side. He got a flashlight. You can go do what you want to do. And Mac Jones paid for it. Mac Jones, you need new security. Next up, it's the same thing. My man Robert Quinn is on Tonyan in the backfield on A.J. Dillon. And Tonyan looking to the sideline at Matt LaFleur like, why in the hell am I out here trying to block this dude? I'm not the security guard. Send the bigger guy out there to take care of this dude. Robert Quinn said, nah, it's another security guard that can't do his job at a high level. I'm going to just run through him, and I'm going to take advantage of what's happening in there in the club. And he all the way in the club. He in the VIP section. He did not stop by the front to get a drink. He went straight into the section and told everybody, get the hell out. Last but not least, y'all want a clown, but this is Jadeveon Clowney going out to Kyler Murray. Matter of fact, I don't know what this tackle was doing from the Arizona Cardinals. I don't even know if he realized that he was supposed to be security. And that's the worst type of security guard. The guy that signs up for the job and don't understand what the job requires. And that's exactly what happened to Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, you ain't fast enough to get away from that. When your security guard don't understand his job, his title, and he ain't getting paid enough, so he mad all the way around, these are the type of things that happen. Kyler Murray, you need new security.
It is a staple every single week. Swagoo and Saturday with the pancakes and the security here on Get Up. And we are just getting rolling. Still to come, Baker has just 48 hours to heal. Can he still save a sinking season? in Believeland. We'll take you there. Plus, it's opening day in the NBA. Are LeBron's Lakers too old to win another championship? Jay Will, Timmy Legs, in our studio talking hoops as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I am your father. Okay. All right, we are back on Get Up, Bills and Titans last night. If you were just getting up, let's catch you up on what you missed. Under 4 minutes to go in the game, Titans down 31-27. Dominique, Derrick Henry had himself a night.
Oh, man, he is unstoppable. Even when you know what he's doing, everyone loads the box and they can't stop him. He runs through the defense.
20 carries, 143 yards, three touchdowns. Tennessee up by three. Bills trying to win. So Josh Allen had a big night, but here he is on a 3rd and 6. Scrambling, desperately trying for the first down and comes up just short. So that sets up a 4th and 1, 22 seconds to go. Do they make the right move going for it?
Yeah, I love this decision. This is keeps it in your quarterback's hands, but it doesn't work out.
The decision may have been right. The execution was not. And just like that, the Titans hang on for the win, 34-31. That is the way the weekend in the NFL comes to an end. It was a weekend that included a lot of issues for the Cleveland Browns. In Sunday's loss, Baker Mayfield aggravated the partially torn labrum he suffered a month ago in the same game in which Kareem Hunt left the field on a cart after suffering a calf injury. So this was a disastrous game for the Browns. Worst possible time for them to have a Thursday night game. In their 3 wins this year, the Browns have held opposing quarterbacks to a 15.1 QBR. In their 3 losses, those quarterbacks' QBR is 80.5. And after losing 2 straight, the Browns find themselves at the bottom of the division. They look to rebound against the Texans tomorrow. Here's Dan Orlovsky on how he sees the Browns now.
Most disappointing team in football. They're a 6-0 roster, and they're a 3-3 football team.
All right, and so let's take a look at that situation. There you have Dan Orlovsky telling us that this is a 6-0 team with a 3-3 record. If you're going to point the finger of blame right now, who gets it?
I mean, you can point it a lot of different places. You could say they're unlucky, but the defense hasn't come together the way that we expected. They have a lot of talent there. They signed a great deal of free agents. They made a draft of Owusu-Koramoah. Nailed it. Glad you're here for me. And they haven't played well, so it's been rough on the defense. I think all the blame tends to go to the quarterback, which is how it works in the NFL. But if you watch these games, it feels to me like they're asking too much of Baker Mayfield, especially for a run-centric offense.
Okay, so Marcus, let's come to you. Usually the quarterback gets all the credit and all of the blame, and sometimes they're too much on either side. Right now, how much of the blame do you think has to go on the quarterback for the disappointing start?
It's some of the blame. I mean, I'm more in line with what Foxy just said about this defense. You can't get rid of the fact that they've given up almost 80 points in 2 weeks. But when you think about from a Baker Mayfield situation, this is what I want Cleveland Browns fans to understand, all right? We are no longer talking about your team in the vein of winning games or winning a game or getting over a hump. We came into this season thinking that this was a Super Bowl contender, so you're talked about at that standard. And that's why it's so disappointing to see what the Cleveland Browns are right now. Now, granted, Baker Mayfield's shoulder is an issue, and I don't want to get rid of that and act like that's not something that we're seeing happening. But it goes back to my point earlier. it was about Baker Mayfield taking a step forward and becoming more impressionable on what they do from an offensive standpoint. It was about this defense stepping up with the names that they added as well. But when we get squarely to the quarterback, this is the thing that gets me. When we look at the AFC, we know that all of those other quarterbacks tend to make the plays that are needed to make the win games for their team late in games. That's their M.O. That's Lamar Jackson's M.O. That's Patrick Mahomes' M.O. That's Josh Allen's M.O. Those are the guys that you have to beat in order to get to a Super Bowl. So I put that on Baker Mayfield's shoulder because the reality is he has not delivered in those moments. And usually when you're a Super Bowl team, those moments are when you're going to have to deliver.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And my apologies to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, but as it pertains to quarterback, if you are going to be waiting till you find Lamar Jackson, you ain't never going to have a quarterback. If you're going to be waiting until you can find somebody like Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes, like right now, you have a quarterback who is average to above average, can make big plays on occasion, and sometimes cost your team. That's better than all the quarterbacks that they have had in recent memory. So you tried to build something around that, or you can go back into this crapshoot, this purgatory that they were in before, where you're just rolling in all these wannabe quarterbacks and it not working out.
This was quite a debate we had in our first hour here. Dan, you were not a part of it. What is your sense of this?
Well, I'm just saying they had the first pick. Like, they could have had Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
or Josh Allen. They took Baker Mayfield, so you don't have to necessarily wait. But look, I think with Baker Mayfield, the key point from earlier was, do you pay him is not a yes or no question. It's how much do you pay him, and they would pay him to a point. I don't think they want to pay him to the point of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And I think if he insists on that, then he's not going to
say that.
Well,
that's the point that I've been making all along. You and Jeff Saturday earlier were sort of make it sound like we're saying they should just get rid of him at all costs. And no one is saying that. He is good enough for them to win with. But if he wants to be paid like the guys, like Lamar and Josh Allen, who are guys you win because of, then the Browns, I think, have to consider their options.
I agree with you. But if he believes that he should get paid like that, then he has a problem with judgment. And he is not going to be able to make good decisions at the quarterback position. Based on the way that he's played, him and his agent know that they can walk in there and ask for a lot of money, but they can't go in there and say, look, I'm like them. You're not. And he knows it.
So is that a possibility here? Is there a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think there's a number that the Browns won't go over.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, unless something changes, right? He comes back from this and leads him to the Super Bowl. That changes the equation. As of right now, I think there's a limit to what they'll pay.
All right, we will wait and see. So much more NFL conversation as we go. But in case you weren't aware, the NBA season tips off tonight, and we are ready to go. Jay Will and Tim Legler are with us this morning, and we'll do some NBA over-unders. Jay, Lakers win total 52.5. Over or under?
I'm probably going to go under. I think having Russell Westbrook helps him create more momentum offensively. But, you know, they're going to win a lot of games. But I think Lakers, it's all about being healthy more in the postseason than trying to win an incredible amount of games throughout the regular season.
Yeah, that one seed this year may not matter as much. Tim, how about in the East? The Milwaukee Bucks win total is at 53.5. You going over or under?
I'm going over. I think that's low for that team. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to try to set the tone for this group that we're not going to be satisfied. And the cohesion, the chemistry, the defensive consistency, they still, I think, feel like they've got a lot to prove. They don't want to be just a one-time-and-done type of team. They want to put together back-to-back championships. It starts with trying to get the number one seed in the East.
And, Jay, the Nets, Brooklyn, the talk of everybody, 56.5 is the over-under. Which way do you go?
And are they playing with Kyrie or without Kyrie?
Well, that's my question to you.
If they're playing with Kyrie, I would say potentially there or over. Without Kyrie, considering James Harden finally being healthy, coming off an offseason surgery, KD, you know, coming off last year, playing 30-plus games barely, like, I still go under. I think, once again, being healthy for them going into the playoffs is the most imperative aspect.
Healthy and together.
Yes.
And obviously so many questions about that. Now, speaking of the Nets, let's go to Vegas. They are the favorites this year at Caesars. Keep in mind, last year in the very limited sample size, when they had Harden, Durant, and Irving all together, they were 11-3. And so Timmy Legs was in here in our first hour, and we were sort of kicking this around. Jay, how would you describe the Nets championship hopes with Kyrie and without Kyrie?
With Kyrie, I think they're one of the favorites. They are the favorite. I think having three guys who are as prolific scorers as those three on the same team, I think make up for the deficiencies they would have on a defensive end. Without Kyrie, I think it makes the road a lot tougher. And I will say this. Look, I know that Milwaukee loses P.J. Tucker to Miami, and that's a big loss because the way he defended Kevin Durant last year in the playoffs. But if Giannis is shooting the ball in the preseason the way he shoots in regular season, the way he's shooting the ball in preseason, we could be talking about the Milwaukee Bucks in the World Championship instead of the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, so let's put it this way for you then, Legs. If I told you those three guys were going to be there when the playoffs begin, would you take the Nets or the Field to win the East?
If you told me all three of those guys were healthy and in the right place, I'd take the Nets. The problem is I'm just not giving them the benefit of the doubt because all year we're going to be saying that. Can they hold up? And is there going to be internal drama? That's all they've had since they put this group together, with both of those things have been in question. So as a result, I'm taking the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they're a better team right now. Now, look, the Nets can erase a lot of that by the time we get to March and April. If eventually Kyrie Irving's situation gets worked out, this is the greatest collection of raw offensive talent in the history of the league at the top of any roster. There aren't enough answers defensively. If, and it's going to be saying if with this team all year, if that's the case. But, Greeny, I'm just not giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think the Bucks have to be listed as the favorite going in because of all the questions.
Those teams play each other tonight at the NBA's tip-off night. Let's go to Philadelphia then, Jay. We talked a lot about Ben Simmons. Tim and I talked about it in our first hour. How do you see this playing out?
There's no way it could work. First off, I don't think there's any way Philadelphia fans are going to let it work considering what happened this offseason. And for anybody that says, like, well, these guys are professionals, Greeny, they'll find a way to work through it. Do you know what happened this offseason? Do you know that Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and teammates wanted to fly out privately to sit down with Ben Simmons and talk to him about coming back? And Ben Simmons says, no, I'm okay, I'm good. I don't see how that's going to pan out chemistry-wise for a team that had the number one seed last year coming down towards the end of it in the Eastern Conference.
So what does that mean then? What happens here to me?
Here's what happened. Rich Paul texted Ben Simmons and left out a couple of zeros on how much money he was going to miss out every time he missed a game. He thought it was $3,600. When he found out it was $360,000, you know what he said? You know what? I'll be there on Monday. Here's the problem. Everybody in the locker room knows, Greeny, that's the only reason he's there. Too much has transpired. He made his feelings clear to the organization. Eventually, this is going to become a buyer's market for other teams. It might already be, because I think the Sixers have overvalued him and what they could get back. I think Daryl Morey's waiting to see what happens with Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. He thinks maybe I could get one of those guys. If those two teams tank and they get disgruntled, maybe that's the move I want to make. The problem is, if you just look at the video from what Ben Simmons has been doing since he got to Philly, practicing with a cell phone in his pocket, team huddle at the end, he's off to the side dribbling a basketball, then beelining out of the court. It just can't last. It's not sustainable. It's not tenable. Not to mention the fact that media and that fan base will never let him forget what they witnessed in that Atlanta series. They just won't. And the first time that resurfaces, which will probably be very early in the season, whenever he plays, they're going to start in, and it's going to be unrelenting, and it's going to really make the experience so miserable for everybody else on that team, they're going to have to move. They should have never let it get to this point that Ben Simmons is in camp when it's obvious he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, we see this in the NBA from time to time, and we all know it ends in a divorce. It's just a question of when it happens. Really quickly, you mentioned the Lakers. We did at the very beginning of the conversation. Their age, is that a factor? Is this the team to beat in the Western Conference to you?
They are by far the team to beat. And if there's anybody, imagine if LeBron James wins another championship or an MVP at 37 years old. You have Russell Westbrook now on this team. You have Anthony Davis. You've been able to add depth with your bench from a scoring perspective. We'll see how they handle things defensively, but this is by far the best team in the West.
All right, so from the beginning, let's jump all the way to the finish. Tim Legler, who wins the NBA championship this year? Who you got?
I like the Lakers over Milwaukee. I think LeBron James ultimately figures it out. Every year's a lost year. He doesn't win one. He didn't win one last year. He's very hungry now, and I think they've got the roster and the talent to do
it. Jay Will.
You're going to hate me. I have a question mark. A lot depends if Kyrie Irving plays.
Is that allowed?
You can say whatever you want.
I know
we're living in a world of hot takes. You got to tell me who's going to win right now. If Kyrie Irving plays, Brooklyn Nets will win. If he doesn't, I'll take the Lakers. How about that?
No, that's not good. We need to have something to populate that screen.
It's called the question mark.
This is what the Nets do to you. They create caveats.
You know what you do? And here's what you do. Because I can't count on any of the things you're talking about with the Nets, and I can't count on any of the things we're talking about with the Lakers. I can count on Giannis and the Bucks, and so I will put my money on the safest horse. I will go Milwaukee to win the championship this year because that is the one that makes sense to me, and I'm not sure the others do. We're going to find out. The season tips off tonight, and our first doubleheader is tomorrow night. Celtics will be at Madison Square Garden to take on the Knicks, 7:30 Eastern, then our primetime West Coast game, Nuggets in Phoenix to take on the Suns. It all begins with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern tomorrow here on ESPN. Coming up, it is crowded at the top. The NFC has 5 teams with at least 5 wins. Which one is the best? We'll answer that question next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What does Swaggoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G. Look at me today, G.
I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
That was a lot of fun. As Swaggoo says, is when you will hear people in sports say things, and then Swaggoo will tell you what they really meant. It starts with John Harbaugh, who was talking about if teams have figured out Lamar Jackson. Here's what he said.
If you're looking for your headline here, you know, I do think that people who make those statements are kind of, you know, whistling in the graveyard just a little bit. You know, it doesn't have any meaning. I've said that before. You know, anybody that knows X and O's would just kind of roll their eyes when they hear something like that.
So that's what the coach says. What does Swaggoo say?
If you think Lamar figured out, you ain't whistling past the graveyard. You in there. You dead. Because you ain't seeing what we seeing. All of this nonsense about figuring out Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson run a 4.2, maybe a 4.1, because he ain't never ran the 40. If you think you got that figured out, you're dead. You're lying, and you can't see.
You're dead. I like that. All right. The next one is Lions coach Dan Campbell. He had some pretty tough words for his own quarterback, Jared Goff. Listen.
I feel like he needs to step up more than he has. And I think he needs to help us, you know, just like everybody else. And I think he's gonna need to put a little bit of weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up, make some throws and do some things. And but he needs help. He needs help.
So that's what the coach said. What does Swaggoo say?
Dan Campbell is basically saying we got the raw end of the deal, okay? Matthew Stafford needed help, but he still was able to help lift us. And we just in a bad situation, people. The man was crying last week because his team been playing hard and they can't get a win. And now he realizing his quarterback ain't good. So he got the raw end of the deal. Detroit, eat your heart out. Jared Goff ain't to be trusted is basically what Dan Campbell said.
And they're going to see it up close and personal this week. They get the Rams, so Stafford and Goff back together again. All right, one more. That's not a good matchup when you're unbeaten. Finally, this is the Giants coach, Joe Judge, giving his plea to Giants fans after their 1-5 start.
This is definitely going to get better. I don't know what kind of guarantee they want, but I can assure everyone out there is a Giants fan, and they want to know when it's going to turn. I can tell them right now. We're working tirelessly to make sure we get this thing turned in the right direction, not just for short-term results, but for long-term success.
All right, so that's what he said. Swaggoo, what do you say?
Hey, y'all, hopefully when y'all watching the Giants in the future, they mention that I coached them for a minute, because I'm going to be watching them with y'all. And I hope that they have a lot of success going forward, because I seem to be a fan of the team. Yeah, I'm a tough guy, and I practice hard, and I want to do things. I want to keep my quarterback in the game so he can get bashed in the head. I understand all of that is going to get me fired, but hopefully something I did set the tone for the Giants' trajectory moving forward. But I ain't going to be there. I'm going to enjoy watching it with the rest of y'all.
That was my favorite one. That is Marcus with Swag, who says every week here. So they're at the bottom of the NFC standings. Let's look at the top of the NFC standings, and candidly, it's loaded. The Bucs right now are the favorites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. That's according to our Football Power Index, with Arizona the unbeaten right behind them. The Cardinals followed, as you see, by the Rams, the Cowboys, and the Packers. So it does bring up the interesting question. The Cardinals are the only unbeaten team. Which is the best team in the NFC right now? Jeff Saturday.
Cowboys. Not, in my mind, not even close. I think these guys, they can flat out get after. You look at this offensive line, they're the most dominant offensive line in the NFL. You have two backs who can get after. You have at the wide receiver position who is not quite healthy yet. When they get healthy, they have two tight ends that can block and catch, and their defense is opportunistic. I like where they are.
Wow, how about them Cowboys? Neek, how about you?
I mean, I think it's easy. It's the Cardinals. Like, I mean, the Cardinals defense is not opportunistic. They're good, which is a little bit better to me. And that offense, so their defense by EPA is second in the league. Their offense is fifth. Like, this team is very good, and they have a quarterback who can make things happen when they're getting out coached.
If the Cowboys and Cardinals played each other this week on a neutral field, you would take Arizona?
Go ahead.
I think I'd take Arizona.
Fair enough. I'm just
saying. The family group chat's going to be a problem after
Cue the Tad tweet in 3, 2, and 1. Swagoo, who's the best team in the NFC? Uh-oh.
Yeah, ask him the same question, too. Follow up.
Who is it?
I got the Cardinals.
Gotta be honest.
I got the Cardinals, man. Listen, the dynamic ability of Kyler, and he's not having to use it right now, y'all. That's the thing that has me most impressed about what the Cardinals are doing. Defensively, I think they are a high level. I think they have the potential to be the top five unit in the NFL. But when you look at Kyler operating right now, it ain't running around and making prolific plays. It's handoffs. It's standing in the pocket, throwing the ball to all of those weapons that they have. And DJ Moore has changed the face of this offense. I mean, Rondale Moore has changed the face of this offense. They are an absolute problem to defend.
All right, Graziano, how about you?
I'm going with the Cardinals.
Nice.
I mean, like, they don't even need a coach. Like, they won the game by three touchdowns.
Come on, don't use that argument. You can give me a lot of different ways. The coach ain't one of them.
Hey, Jeff, slow up, Jeff. Saturday.
Cardinals is the answer. Right now, Cardinals.
That's the line of the day. There's no question about it. First Take, they'll have a lot to say as well. Coming up next, they'll answer this question. Is Mike McCarthy a liability? And what is the Nets ceiling without Kyrie Irving? It's Molly, Stephen A., Keyshawn, and Michael Wilbon. First Take, top of the hour, ESPN.